I'm on a city street in Virginia, standing in an empty parking space where just last night, Bob's car was stolen. Did you see Bob's car get stolen? Probably not. But do you know who's been stealing cars in Virginia? You could get a reward of up to $25,000. Submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. The HEAT program from the Virginia State Police. Reported. Rewarded.
This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Madeira Show, where he will discuss testosterone optimization and full body health for the high-performance modern man. Now, here's your host, Dr. Madeira.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. It's Dr. Madeira here on the Dr. Madeira Show. And today we're going to talk about peptides with Dr. Amber. And she's down in Los Angeles, California. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. The sun finally came out here. It's been kind of rainy, so got a little vitamin D in my bloodstream.
Nice. Yeah, we unfortunately don't have that option up here in Seattle, but I've been sitting in front of my Virilux Happy Light to try to make up for it and taking plenty of vitamin D.
Got to do what you got to do. Yep. Yeah. I remember.
So you are specializing in peptides in women's and men's hormone health down in Los Angeles. And
yes.
You are at two different locations. You want to share a little bit more about your work down in the LA area?
Definitely, yeah. So I'm located in Redondo Beach, which is the south side of LA. So I have a private practice where I see clients here, a lot of bioidentical hormones and testing for hormones for women, peri-postmenopausal women in this area. And then I do a lot of gut testing as well. And then in the Hollywood location, I'm in a clinic 2 days a week on Tuesdays and Fridays. I see patients there and also do some telemed visits for some of those clients out of that clinic. And we have a more full suite of offerings there. So we have IVs, we do have some of the vitamin injections, we have actually some stem cell therapy, growth hormone. We have all the bioidentical hormones. We also do PRP and platelet rich plasma treatments for skin and hair and all sorts of things. So that provides me the opportunity to do those. And then I'm able to, you know, follow up with patients and have patient appointments throughout the week. So it's a really happy balance. I love what I get to do. And then recently, a lot of work, research, time spent in the peptide world and working with a ton more clients using peptides as a therapeutic. I really love, you know, and I'm sure you can agree with everything that we learned in school as far as functional labs and really optimizing that. I like to tell my patients, like, tier one is all of the basics. So let's look at your blood sugar regulation, your sleep and your hydration and your all of your hormones. And then tier two is kind of some of these more optimization strategies, like looking at growth hormone and some of our repair and recovery cellular mechanisms of aging and using some of the peptides, stem cells, things of that nature for treatment options. So it's really, really exciting to learn about and to get a lot of positive feedback from the Hollywood clients, from, you know, people in Redondo that I'm working with. And then even for myself, I've had really good results on some of the peptides on the stack. So we can talk more about that too.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it. Peptide therapy has definitely taken a bigger front row seat as far as interest with, I think, the general public in the last year or two. And people are getting really excited about all the things it can do for kind of like age management optimization, if you will. And, you know, it's kind of like the next level if you couple it with hormone replacement therapy, as both of us do for our patients. And I just think it's really exciting. So maybe we should talk about our personal experiences first.
Sure.
Some stories, things that have worked, and maybe also dispel some of the kind of mythology or as common misunderstandings out there.
Sure. Maybe we can just give a little primer on what are peptides or what do they do, and then I'll talk about a couple that just as a little primer of, that I've used for myself, and then I would love to hear some of your experience too. So I guess what is a peptide for anybody who isn't familiar with peptide therapy? Peptides are essentially just chains of amino acids. So we learn that in med school. We learn about proteins, which break down to peptides, which break down to the smallest subunit, which is an amino acid. And we can make different combinations of amino acids in the body, and those send different signals. So peptides, essentially, they can bind to a receptor site and they can signal the cell to promote a specific pathway or to negate or prevent, an aging pathway or a pathway of cellular degeneration. So we can really send targeted, specific messages to influence cellular signaling, which can influence pathways like growth hormone and aging, cellular aging pathways, brain and neuroinflammation, all sorts of things. And I like to think about peptides in relation to like pharmaceutical drugs, because pharmaceutical drugs, yes, they do have a mechanism of action, but what a lot of pharmaceuticals do is they have a lot of side effects too, right? So they might hit that one pathway, but they hit like six others, which gives you all the side effects. Peptides are very, very, very specific for a receptor site, and they don't have the same side effect profile of a pharmaceutical for that reason, which makes them really advantageous to use. And we're learning more and more about the mechanisms and which ones can be used strategically, like we can pair certain peptides. So as far as my own experience, I've used some of the growth hormone analogs, which the biochemical names that we have for them is CJC1295 and Ipamorelin. And that's a combination of two peptides. They're a sub-Q injection. And essentially, the CJC1295 is a growth hormone secretagogue, releasing hormone. That's the releasing hormone. So it'll increase production in the pituitary. So it sends a message to the pituitary, says, hey, let's make some more growth hormone. And then the Ipamorelin, when you pair it with that, that's the secretagogue, the growth hormone secretagogue. So that one will actually, it's like, I think of it as like the delivery truck. So that one will help deliver it to the body. So you, when you pair both of those together, it's significantly more effective. I mean, your spike in release of growth hormone is 5 to 10x of what it would be with either of those in isolation. So are you familiar with that peptide and use it at all, Sam?
Yeah, I've been using Ipamorelin with Sermorelin.
Yeah.
A couple of men. And I haven't been using CJC1295 yet. I guess we can talk about some of the other ones in a second that I've been using more with myself and patients.
Great.
But yeah, I mean, I guess today's focus is like brain health, growth hormone, secretagogues, and hormone support through peptides. So because for the listeners, peptides is like, it's like saying, you know, we're going to talk about the state of California.
I know.
And like all of its geography and history and natural history and all those things. It's vast. It's large. It's got a lot going on. So we're going to try to keep it to this area for the men and women listening.
Great.
But yeah, I like Ipamorelin, and I've heard other people say that Ipamorelin actually works better for women, but I've seen it work well for men and women. And I mean, peptides aren't, you know, unless they're truly just trying to work on like a male or female hormone pathway. From what I've seen for most peptides, they can be used for men and women. I think some people might just have more receptors genetically of different things on their cells. So maybe that is why maybe some women do better with it. Have you seen Ipamorelin work better for men or women, or anything to say about that?
Yeah, in my personal clinical experience, I've seen it work well for both. The Ipamorelin, and J. Campbell talks about how it can produce a lot of benefits for women for body composition. And then also using some of the growth hormone analogs, especially the CJC 1295, because it does support, so, you know, it's our hormone of youth, right? So it's what we have when we're in our late teens, early teens, that helps us recover and repair, and it's our cellular repair. It's all of those youthful functions. So it has roles in helping us to burn body fat and kind of regulate our fat versus lean mass. It also can help us sleep, and I've had patients report cognitive benefits as well when they're taking the growth hormone releasing peptides, that combo, the CJC 1295 and the Ipamorelin, that just sharper the next day, or sharper, a little bit of a nootropic effect, just better recovery post-workout, post-injury, increased muscle mass, increased strength, increased ability to repair post-workout, things like
that. That's great.
Deeper sleep. So, but I have learned through the International Peptide Society, which is an educational place for doctors to learn more about peptides, they talk about how you could potentially lower the dose of bioidenticals when you have them on some of these growth hormone releasing hormones and secretagogues, because it's helping the body. Not that they, we'll talk about other peptides that have an LH secreting effect. Growth hormone is not specific for LH, but it can actually potentially decrease the amount of bioidentical hormone that you need to use, according to IPS, which I thought was fascinating.
So that could potentially make it a little bit of more affordable long-term for somebody.
Definitely.
To be on both.
Right.
And maybe they don't need to be on both as long or at the same dose.
That's definitely great. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I really, so in conjunction, that's a beautiful pairing is, you know, I really think optimizing hormones is first, and then optimizing growth hormone is kind of a higher level intervention. But both in tandem, you know, if it makes sense for the patient, is even more powerful strategy for, yeah, energy, usefulness, just kind of getting back to stabilizing hormone levels and their sense of vitality and restedness. You know, a lot of people just kind of come to me and they're in their 50s and say, I just don't feel like I'm resting. I don't feel like I'm sleeping well and not recovering. You know, my brain function is not as good. Can't burn fat, build muscle, all things that growth hormone analogs like the peptides can help build resilience through cellular signaling for them. But of course, we're looking at hormone optimization too. So yeah,
it can be rough when people hit that, whatever that age is. It's different, I think, for individuals, but 50 is definitely one of the more common milestones, or 40 sometimes too, if people have been going really hard and strong with their career and or like training and weightlifting and things like that combined.
Definitely.
Wake up and just say, hey, you know, I really am feeling my age over the last year or two. So peptide therapy is a good place to step in there, especially these growth hormone secretagogues. What are some other regenerative growth hormone or other peptides that you like using with patients or yourself, or you have experience with?
Yeah, it depends on the complaint, but specific to men's health, the growth hormone releasing peptides, they produce the biggest overall effect. So I think generally starting there, if there's a lot of complaints and just generally not feeling rested or recovering, that's a good place to start. I do love, so there's one that I think we talked about before. It's called 5-Amino-1-MQ. And that one's specific for cellular energy and mitochondrial function. And what it does is essentially up naturally through cellular signaling can upregulate our NAD plus production, which you and I both know about NADAVs and all of the research. They're using NADAVs for addiction. And yeah, what else? I know there's a ton of other things that they're using NAD for.
NAD, I don't use a ton of that. I haven't honestly used that in my clinic in Seattle, and I stopped doing IVs a little while ago now after doing them for years. Mm-hmm. But I think just like mitochondrial disease, conditions that are affecting mitochondria where, you know, you could do NAD or even poly-MBA could be good. Yeah, and I'm actually using NAD in a nasal spray.
Great.
It's with RG3, which is basically a constituent from ginseng. So, mm-hmm. which is a herb, a root from ginseng, the plant, and methylcobalamin, so B12, and then there's NAD as well. So I've been using that. I'm actually due for a refill pretty quick here soon. But I got it from TaylorMade Compounding Pharmacy. And yeah, just one spray in the nose, you know, each nostril 2 to 4 times a day, sometimes just once a day because I'll forget. But I've noticed that it definitely helps with cognitive basically optimization, focus, brain energy. So I think a lot of the times when people, you know, barring dehydration and lack of sleep and things like that, the lifestyle things, sometimes we have brain fatigue because we've just been going so hard all week. And, you know, if you've had multiple head injuries or sports injuries that you didn't realize were head injuries or car accidents you didn't realize were head injuries and were never diagnosed, something like this may make a big difference for somebody. So personally, I've had a few car accidents and head injuries in that regard. So I benefit from this, and I don't use it every day. I mean, I take weekends off and kind of think of it like it's like your pre-workout for your work, you know, for your brain. Versus the pre-workout shake for, you know, your muscles before going to the gym. So, but this has no caffeine in it and no garbage, and it's made in a compounding pharmacy. So
great. Yeah.
Higher grade.
Yeah. I know that's one thing that you're really passionate about, and have a lot of tools and strategies, tactics for patients post head trauma. And they're, yeah, this is a perfect peptide for that, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I will say for the listeners, it matters where you get peptides, because I tried 3 different compounding pharmacies for the RG3 methylcobalamin mix, and there was a noticeable difference when the NAD was added, but there was also a noticeable difference between a more affordable or cheaper compounding pharmacy versus more expensive products, and you get what you pay for. So I paid a little bit more money, and I've noticed more benefits than I did at the other compounding pharmacy. So I'll leave their name out, but out of respect for them. But it does matter, because, and I also say that because I know that people can get peptides, at least for now, they still can get peptides through these like research companies online, and that is kind of like a hit or miss thing. So you want to get it from a doctor through a compounding pharmacy that's reputable, whether it's TaylorMade Compounding Pharmacy or another reputable compounding pharmacy, and make sure that you know, they're doing their due diligence. And then there's a lot number attached to it. So if anything happens to you while you're using them.
Michael J. for Hope for the Warriors. Started back in 06 at Camp Lejeune. Military families witnessing the effects of war on their loved ones. Now, almost 20 years later, they've aided over 53,000 service members, veterans, and families with confidential, high-quality behavioral health care services at little or no cost. To post 9/11 vets and their families, over 91% of every dollar donated goes directly to the programs. If you're as concerned about our heroes as I am, go to hopeforthewarriors.org.
Peptide, you can call up the compounding pharmacy as the patient, talk to the compounding pharmacy, just like with any medication or supplement for that matter, and say, hey, like, this is what happened when I was taking this. Do you think this could be a side effect, or have you ever heard of this before? What do you recommend? Can I still take it or change the dosage, etc.? So just think that quality control with all medications is paramount, and patient safety, obviously, you know, as we say in medicine, first do no harm. So just thought I'd throw that out there for the listeners who are trying to cut corners on price. And, you know, we have a lot of people biohacking their health today, and I think it's great that people are excited and wanting to do things to optimize their health. It's just, it can kind of go sideways pretty fast.
Great. Yeah, I definitely wanted to bring that to light in this podcast about the importance of sourcing. So thank you for talking about that. And yeah, there's a lot of companies online now, probably hundreds, that you can get peptides from, that a lot of them come from China, from one place in China where they manufacture them, because that's kind of how China works. They have different places where they'll manufacture them. And sometimes they'll have a COA, but the COA, which is the certificate analysis, but that's from before they ship it. And, you know, then it's stored in a warehouse, and it's not, you just don't ever want to risk something that you inject into your body. You don't want to risk the safety profile of that. You know, when it comes to supplements, definitely, but even more so when it's something that you're putting into your bloodstream. So I think it's really important for, you know, our patients or just the general public to know that where they're getting these from is not a small matter. It's really, really important, and actually the efficacy as well too. And then when you work with a doctor, you also get a dosing protocol, you get support, it's a part of a treatment plan, you know, there's expected results. It's really more of a comprehensive piece rather than just kind of buying and trying and seeing what happens. So yeah, I do love TaylorMade, and they have, you know, lots of educational pieces coming out about all the peptides. They're really good about educating doctors and the public, and being really transparent about their testing and everything that they do. So I think they're one of the better ones. There are a few other compounding pharmacies, but the sourcing is definitely important.
Excellent. Yeah, that's, I mean, we can't say enough about that one. And then as far as the CJC, the 1295 and Ipamorelin, the dosage of that is subcutaneous, usually in the belly fat, right?
Yeah, so that one is taken in a fasted state. It's a subcutaneous injection. I like to give it 5 out of 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And that's to prevent something called tachyphylaxis. So just the more you take it, it'll essentially, the effect will be less profound. Your body will adapt. So doing it 5 out of 7 days is what they found to be the best, the most effective. And then 100 microgram dose is kind of what they say. Anything over that is, not as effective. So yeah, so that one, and it has to be fasted. So either 30 minutes before you eat in the morning or 90 minutes after a meal at night. You can take that one up to 4 times a day, but it's kind of cost prohibitive to do so. Although there are some weight loss protocols that do have the 3 to 4 time a day dosing. So It's possible to do it that much. And yeah, that one, but that one's the one that's the timing is most important. Most of the other peptides don't have a fasted component, but the growth hormone releasing peptides, the secretagogue, both of those together, CJC and hypermorelin, have to be fasted for maximal effectiveness. And the reason why is because when you, eat a big meal, blood glucose spikes, insulin as well, growth hormone is suppressed. So when you take the peptides in a fed state, they're not going to be nearly as effective. So, I actually find the best results before bed too. I like people to do it before bed. I think it's just easy right before you go to bed. It takes 2 minutes, quick injection. And then most clients will notice how deep and restful their sleep is because you're getting a bigger, pulsation of that growth hormone about midnight, 1 a.m. when you're asleep, and that promotes really deep sleep. So that's what I noticed for myself when I started taking these is, man, I slept so deep, and I'm a light sleeper generally. I can wake up pretty easily. And I was not needing to sleep quite as many hours either, which is great. The first week I took it, I woke up before the sunrise almost every day and watched this LA sunrise over the mountains. It was amazing.
Wow.
And so the sleep for a lot of people who aren't getting restful sleep can be a pretty big difference maker alone.
Yeah, that's spectacular. For me, that's a big sell because I'm also a light sleeper and don't always sleep as well as I'd like. And I think recently a lot of people are just noticing, maybe because at this time of year, there's not enough sunlight to actually feel like there was a daytime especially in the Pacific Northwest and then recently in LA. So they're not getting that like strong melatonin dump when it gets darker at night. And they just feel tired throughout the day because their melatonin is kind of like dripping throughout the day, if you will. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't have the funding to do that kind of research right now, but
right. I know, right?
That's exciting that it's that effective for sleep too. And if people can get their sleep better and sleep longer, we know that their hormones, all their hormones are going to recover faster. They're going to have higher levels of testosterone. We're talking about men's health and testosterone. They're going to have a better ability to, think quickly and not forget things throughout the day. So cognition, heart health, less inflammation in their joints and their gut and their brain. So all those things just get better, less likelihood of getting neurodegenerative diseases. So dementia, Alzheimer's, all these things that people are getting more and more of today. And seeing epidemic numbers increase. And then I had a quick question for you about the dosing. So let's say somebody eats dinner at 7 o'clock. Can they inject 2 hours after the meal's over, or does it have to be, 4 to 5 hours fasting? Like what are you seeing there with what is considered like a true fasting?
Yeah, at least they say 90 minutes away from a meal. So if you eat a big meal, say you eat your last meal at 7, wait till at least like 8:30 is when you should be drawing it up.
Mm-hmm.
at the very earliest. And that includes alcohol as well. So beer and wine too.
Okay.
So that's why the 5 out of 7 days is kind of nice for patients because they want to go out on the weekend or eat a later meal on a Saturday night or something, and they don't have to worry about doing it 7 nights a week and falling off the wagon, so to speak, with the dosing protocol. So it does allow for some flexibility as well there with the fasted meal. The two other peptides, since we're talking about sleep and testosterone, the DSIP and the kisspeptin would be great to talk about in regards to men's health and sleep.
Let's jump in. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So the DSIP, it stands for Delta Sleep Inducing Peptide. And that one, I have heard really good reports from patients and clients. I had one of my patients wrote me an email this week and said, I had the best night of sleep of my life. And she hadn't been sleeping well at all. And she just started on the DSIP. And so delta sleep inducing peptide, it doesn't actually sedate you. So it's not like melatonin where you take it and you get really tired shortly thereafter. It's actually helps you get into that deep stage four sleep. So not REM, but deep, but stage four. It's the deep sleep. If you have an Oura ring, you can track the REM and the deep sleep. Mm-hmm. But you have a lot of delta waves that happen in that deep delta four, that deep sleep delta wave. So that one can be amazing for, they use Kisspeptin and DSIP both for testosterone and men's health because, you know, as you know, like when men get deeper, more restorative sleep, their testosterone normalizes, like you mentioned. So the DSIP can be a really great intervention if they're really, if the sleep is kind of the main issue. The Kisspeptin is more of an LH signaler. So we'll use HCG for signaling LH and helping the natural signaling to the Leydig cells to make testosterone for men. But we can use Kisspeptin as a similar mechanism where it can, you know, send that message, the LH, luteinizing hormone, to the testes, say, hey, let's make more of the, like, natural testosterone. So that's also a benefit. Using those together could also be really powerful because you're kind of targeting, you're targeting sleep with the DSAP and you're targeting the natural LH secretion. So that would be a great way if a man's like, I am absolutely not going on synthetic testosterone. What can I do? In the world of peptides, those two would be a beautiful combo for men.
I like that a lot. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. And so the Kisspeptin is going to increase the brain secretion of luteinizing hormone.
Correct.
So for the listeners who aren't well-versed in physiology and endocrinology, that is going to stimulate the testes in men to make more testosterone, assuming the testes are able to make more testosterone. So that's why you have to have a doctor diagnose, you know, is the issue that you're not making enough luteinizing hormone or that you're not making enough testosterone? Because mm-hmm. you could have low testosterone and it could be a luteinizing hormone deficiency.
Yep.
And that's the difference between hypogonadism, there's stage one and stage two. So you have to have somebody like Dr. Amber or myself who know how to differentiate, okay, well, you're actually not making any testosterone. And, you know, maybe there's been a therapeutic trial for 3 to 4 months with HCG and the patient only increased their testosterone 25 points. And before it was 300. You know, total testosterone, hypothetically, you know, hypothetical case here.
Mm-hmm.
But the case point being, this would be great for somebody who maybe had their bell rung and had a head injury and multiple head injuries. Maybe they were a football or hockey player, or maybe they just were unlucky and in a lot of car accidents. Either way, unlucky. And they just needed to reset that anterior pituitary hormone, luteinizing hormone. So I think this is the exciting thing for us physicians and patients, because instead of having such a limited paintbrush, you know, paint palette of just, okay, you have HCG, Clomid, and testosterone, and herbs and vitamins and things. Now it's like the next tier. And you were saying in the beginning today that tier one would be lifestyle and hydration and sleep. And a lot of people, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg thing. They can't remember when their sleep fell off the bandwagon, and they can't really, they're trying to work on their sleep, but you know, they're maybe trying to take some herbs or magnesium and it's just not really cutting the mustard. So these things can really push these pathways further and potentially reset things for good, right? Where, you know, maybe they don't need to be on peptides for the rest of their life, but if they can get their sleep reset, then they can slowly go off the peptides after maybe a year and be able to have healthy sleep again. So to me, that's exciting, where you know, before it was kind of not limiting as a naturopathic doctor, but I definitely think this is really exciting. And I know a lot of people are excited about it. So so that was KISPEP and DSIP.
Yeah.
And both of those similar dosing, sub-Q and the belly fat before bed 5 days a week, or is there a different dosing schedule?
Yeah, so those don't have to be fasted as much because they don't have, they're not growth hormone analogs, so they're not influenced by, you know, blood sugar or insulin levels at all. But the easy thing is, so the timing doesn't really matter, but if you're going to be injecting the growth, say you're on the growth hormone analogs, we'll just have you do them all at the same time. You could draw them all up in one syringe, so there's not a morning injection. It just saves the number of times you have to poke yourself and the number of, you know, medical waste with all the syringes, because that can add up doing that multiple times a day. So they can generally do the KISPEPTIN at night. There's no contraindications. Some of them are better dosed like in the morning, like the one, anything that's going to help stimulate testosterone, right? We give our testosterone generally in the morning if somebody's going to inject it. So with the testosterone stimulating peptides, those might be better done in the morning, but it's not the same as exogenous testosterone. So you can do it at night and there's no issue there, but neither of them have to be fasted.
Good to know. That's important for everybody to know. Mm-hmm. And would you use any of these peptides in like maybe 19-year-old teenagers? Would you consider that like 18, 19-year-olds? I've been getting a lot of social media inquiries from parents saying, hey, you know, I have either patients or people that are interested in having their son see me.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're, you know, a freshman in college or something and they have low testosterone. So I'm just wondering if these would be good for people like that who would not be candidates for low dose testosterone therapy.
Definitely. I think that this would be a perfect indication for that if you didn't want to do any exogenous testosterone injections or topical testosterone, especially when they're at that age. I think, you know, yeah. Using some other therapeutics. I've actually found the red light to be really powerful too, in conjunction with other things. But yeah, this would be a perfect application for that. And I was just gonna say, when you were talking about head traumas too, I think we've only scratched the surface in terms of things that we can use that are peptides for head traumas. We talked about a few things that help to regulate the anterior pituitary and LH signaling and hormone balance and the KISPEPTIN. There's something called VIP, vasointestinal peptide. That one has effects in regulating the pituitary. There's so many things that we can work on these cellular signaling pathways and kind of help the brain to recalibrate post head trauma, like especially in places like sports and you know, even post car accident head trauma. You'll find that the regulation of some of these releasing hormones and then the downstream effects of the actual hormone levels is impacted. And we're literally just beginning to scratch the surface in terms of peptides that are helping with that. Like there's a ton of things that can be extremely beneficial in a case of head trauma.
Well said. I agree. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, let's talk maybe about some of these neurorestorative peptides, neurogenic peptides.
Mm-hmm.
They're called both. There's cerebrolysin is one that you can use sub-Q and oral enterocoated capsules.
Yeah.
What are some highlights of that peptide that people should definitely know about?
Yeah, so that is one that's different than a lot of the other peptides. I don't know if you ever get the question. I've gotten this question before from some of my clients about Are the peptides derived from human tissue? Like, where are they coming from? And this one actually, like, overall, almost every peptide on the market, no. But cerebrolysin, yes, actually is. I forget the animal. I think it's a, is it a pig? But they take the porcine brain tissue and they, they actually use that as an extract for the cerebrolysin. But it's been extremely effective in cases of neurodegeneration, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. It depends on the patient's, you know, comfortability. It's a more expensive peptide, but TaylorMade does make that. And it can be really, really indicated in, any sort of neurocognitive decline.
Definitely. And you said Parkinson's disease, correct?
Yes. Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, they're using it.
Wow.
With great success.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And of course, in conjunction with diet and lifestyle and the functional labs and looking at, inflammatory markers in the blood and lowering homocysteine and all of those things. But the cerebrolysin is pretty powerful peptide combination. Yeah. Do you have any experience with that one?
I don't, but Ryan Smith from TaylorMade Compounding, who does a lot of the education, and I talked to him for a little bit. Mm-hmm. When I set up my account with them, and he recommended that I read about it and possibly use it for patients. I'm always looking to optimize my brain health, because we're all kind of up against the wall of, you know, the potential of dementia or neurodegenerative disease later on. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
that's a concern of mine. Mm-hmm. Especially with not a strong family history, but there is a little bit there. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can talk about a couple other ones in that category, if there are any others that you recommend, even if they help with things like anxiety or just focus. And
yes. Yeah. So there's a couple. One that I have personal experience with is called C-Max. Spelled S-E-M-A-X. And that is an intranasal, so no injection required for that one. Actually, you can inject that one, but the intranasal is more effective for the nootropic effect. And I have definitely noticed an effect with that one. I haven't tried the RG3 yet, but I've done the C-Max for cognition and focus. And I use it in conjunction with a stack. So like I use Qualia. I don't know if you're familiar with them. It's a brand called NeuroHacker. They're out of Encinitas, California.
Yep.
And so I'll use that, and I'll use the C-Max, sometimes some coffee, and I am just honed in for hours. That's kind of my combo.
Awesome.
Yeah, and maybe some nitric balance, if you're familiar with that from Apex.
Apex, yeah, that stuff's good. Yeah, acetyl-carnitine. Mm-hmm. They have their proprietary formulation.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love the C-Max. I got to refill mine too. I'm looking at the bottle right now and it's definitely empty.
Yeah.
So I think I might wait until after the holidays, after my holiday break, and get that back on board.
Definitely. Yeah. And then some peptides for anxiety we can talk about too.
Yeah, let's get into anxiety, because it seems like anxiety today, it seems like over 60% of people coming to see us have anxiety. Are you seeing that a lot down in LA too?
Definitely. Yeah, it's a really, really common complaint. So the peptides that I know that can be really successful, and I haven't used either of these myself, but it's the Celanc. So sometimes they'll use C-Max for kind of the focus. They'll use Celanc for anxiety. And then there's this new peptide that's an anxiolytic, and it's a capsule form, and it's called DHHB. And there is some research on PubMed about this specific molecule. So TaylorMade does have this product. You can get it other places, but it's a capsule form of magnolia bark. And it's neuroprotective. They've actually used it to wean patients off benzodiazepines. And I don't know, I'm sure you're familiar with the addictive capacity of benzodiazepines, but essentially, if you're not increasing the dose, like you pretty much have to keep increasing the dose, so the patient like won't keep getting an effect. Like they're extremely addictive.
Very addictive.
So they're using the DHHB really successfully there, and then they found that it has some really powerful anti-anxiety effect for anybody who's, you know, obviously root cause medicine, right? So we're looking at a lot of factors. Hormones, progesterone in women, all sorts of other things that could contribute to anxiety. But this is also a treatment option is the DHHB peptide and then the Celenc.
And have not tried the Celenc yourself? Have you tried it with patients though?
I haven't. I have none. Actually, I just put somebody on it really recently, but I need to actually reach out to them and see how they're doing. I don't know how they're doing. That one's also an intranasal. So those are great because you can, like, I take the C-Max with me and when I, you know, go to see patients on Friday and I'll, you know, take it right before I see a patient. But you could do potentially if you have a, you know, a public talk or you have a networking event, you usually get anxious, you can take the Celenc, it's an intranasal with you and use it right before you walk in. Or if you're in the bathroom and you're anxious, you can use something like that. Or even the DHHB, it's a capsule. So it's not something that you have to pull out a syringe and inject yourself with in the moment. Right. So,
and that might increase your anxiety, especially if like some of my patients who just don't like injecting themselves. I mean, I don't think anybody loves injecting themselves, but some people are a little more needle phobic. So,
definitely.
Yeah, I like that. I personally don't have a ton of anxiety, but I think, you know, we all kind of have like situational stress.
Yes.
And, you know, it could be just like something like, oh, you're going to get on a plane for holiday travel, you know, and going through security might get some people a little stressed out or things like that. Definitely. Or maybe you run your own business and you're doing your taxes. Or I've had some clients who are entrepreneurs and they're getting audited for the first time. So maybe some Celenc can help with that. Hopefully that's not happening to you, but you never know. We live in this world. So these are great options for everybody. I just wanted to maybe step back a little bit. There was one, and I believe it's in the neurological repair function category that I am kind of experimenting with. And that one is Dihexa.
Yes, Dihexa.
It's a transdermal cream, and it looks kind of like the fake cake icing that you would get at like a Safeway bakery or something. That kind of like blue, kind of light blue cake icing. But it's a cream. You just put it on your wrists or inner forearms, hairless areas of your forearms or the back of your neck. Or both. And I just kind of use it here and there. But I've also noticed, and I don't know if it's just maybe because maybe this isn't what it does and it's just placebo because I thought it helped with anxiety. But I've noticed that it is a little bit calming and then I do feel more focused when I do use it. So I don't know if you've had any experiences with that with patients or yourself, but.
So I haven't used that one specifically, but I have heard amazing stories about how effective it can be. I just know it protects the microglial cells. So essentially it turns what could be pro-inflammatory in the brain into an anti-inflammatory in the brain. So that could maybe be responsible for the calming effect. And it also increases, well, we didn't mention this with C-Max, but C-Max increases BDNF. That's why it works for memory and cognition. And so does Dihexa. They both do the same thing with BDNF. So
that's great. Mm-hmm. So if somebody really wanted to jump up their BDNF, they could do both of those, the C-Max nasal spray, Dihexa cream.
Yep.
And the Dihexa cream is apply 2 to 4 clicks to inner forearms or back of neck and rub until absorbed once daily. So
yep.
I'm not fully compliant with that because I don't feel like I need it every day. And I'm trying to make it last a little bit longer. I think I have, you know, I'm halfway through this one little click tube. But, you know, somebody could do something like interval training in the morning, which increases BDNF and other things that are good for the brain and the body, and including growth hormone. And then they could use these peptides and, you know, do other things. So like intermittent fasting. So it's pretty awesome times we live in as far as the availability of medicine. And what about, I had a question for you about another growth hormone, IGF-1 promoter, is MK677.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that one?
So that is a ghrelin agonist. That one actually can cause just as... That one's one that you have to be a little bit more careful with. It's really big in the bodybuilding community. It does stimulate hunger pretty substantially. I like to use ipamorelin because ipamorelin has all the benefit. It's not quite as strong as like an MK677 in terms of it binds to the ghrelin receptor. So there's certain things that are going to be advantageous to use in different patient populations. Like ipamorelin is good in somebody that you want to boost their growth hormone, but you don't want to increase their appetite through the roof, and you don't want to spike their prolactin, and you don't want to increase their cortisol levels. MK677 does have some of those side effects. Like, but there are cases where that would actually be advantageous to use one of the, they called GHRP6 or the ghrelin receptor agonists, where you want to stimulate appetite. Say you have a 95-year-old man who has a low appetite, body weight's dropping, energy is low. We actually want to use something like that to help promote muscle mass, because we know that, you know, with age, longevity is linked to better levels of muscle mass. It's a marker. So we might want to use something that would promote hunger in that case, whereas in somebody like me, I don't want to increase my hunger levels through the roof, so I'm starving. So ipamorelin would be a better choice. But the MK677 can produce a lot of the negative side effects, like spiking the cortisol, like increasing the prolactin, and increasing the hunger. And so that's why I don't preferentially use that one, but it has been used a lot in the bodybuilding community, because when they increase their hunger, you know, they're increased IGF-1, increased growth of muscle mass and such. So yeah, I haven't actually used that one with, I don't work with the bodybuilding community, but it's, mm-hmm. it's historically been used in that setting. So
good to know. I think that's good for the kind of men's health audience to know about the pros and cons, since somebody may have heard about it or read about it on our blog or watched a YouTube video about it.
Yep.
As far as other reparative peptides for joints and things like that, what would be your top two go-to or your top go-to reparative peptides there?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people that have heard about peptides have probably heard about the MK677 or the BPC-157, and that's the one that we use a lot for joint health and connective tissue mainly. And there's multiple different forms of the BPC-157. You can actually get an intranasal of that, which they use for mold and Lyme patients. You can get a capsule form, which is going to be really advantageous in leaky gut. I've had some positive response with patients taking that, actually, where we've run a stool panel. We've looked at their zonulin level. It's elevated. We've put them on some BPC. Their symptoms of gas and bloating have resolved. Their acid reflux has improved, things like that. So I actually have seen some positive results just with the capsules of that. And then you can also inject it, and that can be a local injection. It's hard to say whether the local, like if you inject it, say, right into the elbow, they're having some issues in like that joint or some tendonitis or something. It's hard to say because if you inject it locally, unless it's an intra-articular, because that's specifically in the joint, but whether you inject it in the stomach or in the subcutaneous tissue, anywhere, the blood vessels are going to uptake it and send it where it needs to go in the body, so and promote that cellular signaling pathways. It's kind of a potentially a misnomer unless you're using like an ultrasound guided BPC-157 injection that's so specific to that area. So it's, you can still notice benefits even if you inject the BPC into the abdomen or into subcutaneous fat that's not necessarily right at the area.
Makes sense to me. Yeah, it's going to get there one way or another, like you said.
Yeah.
And any other favorite peptides that you want to discuss or that you think people should definitely know about in the kind of brain and hormone health categories?
Yeah. So specific to men's health, two, we'll just kind of mention them really briefly, but the thymosin beta 4 is also one that they use for muscle recovery, muscle protein synthesis. That's a really a recovery peptide. That's kind of a more known one. And that's also a sub-Q injection as well. That one can be effective in for people who are really active and fit, and, you know, workout recovery is a big priority. And then the other one that we should mention for hair loss is this peptide that they've done some research on, found to be really effective. It's a really long, complicated name, so they abbreviate it as PTD-DBM. And I won't tell you, that's like extremely, it's a biochemical name. But PTD-DBM essentially affects the stem cells in the hair follicle. So we know that pathway, it's called the Wnt/Becatenin pathway. And I actually remember learning that in school about that pathway. I don't know if you remember that too, but that specific pathway regulates the hair follicle. And it essentially, when we give that peptide, it will rescue the stem cell from being suppressed. And when we rescue the stem cell, we're able to promote hair growth. So they'll use this peptide, the PTD-DBM, they can use it in conjunction with, you know, your PRP around the scalp line. You can use it without valproic acid. We can use it with some of the other things that we're already using for hair loss in conjunction or as a standalone. But I think when you have two or three things on board, it can be really effective treatment strategy for hair loss or hair regeneration for men.
Spectacular. That's such a common concern for men today. Mm-hmm. I mean, for not just today, but forever, all times who have hair loss. And as far as other hair loss peptides, what would you like to share about GHK? I believe it's the copper foam mixture.
Yeah. So TaylorMade does have it's a topical that you can use. I don't have a ton of experience with that yet with clients, but I do know that those copper peptides have been used. So it's the GHK, it's a tripeptide, and then there's copper bound onto it, copper 2+. So really effective for collagen synthesis. They use it in skin. They've been using it in topical skin products for a long time. And there is research to support that it's efficacious for hair and just regenerating collagen is the main thing, but it is helpful in hair regrowth too.
Spectacular. So you would recommend the other peptide you just mentioned over probably this GHK, the GHK copper? Yeah.
Yeah. It depends how, it depends on the patient's complaints. If they're main one and only complaint is hair loss, and that's why they're coming to see us. We might bring both on board, but the PTED DBM has more clinical research based on hair loss specifically. The GHKCU is more of an aesthetic collagen producer.
Excellent. Yeah.
Good for skin. Yeah.
I think that's, I mean, it's exciting because both of us do these PRP scalp injections for hair loss, and then to have something beyond, you know, like generic Rogaine for patients to use every night, you know, before bed, or, you know, at least 4 to 5 nights a week before going to sleep is really great. And then, you know, obviously we work on their gut health and any other issues that are coming up.
Yes.
Have you used the peptide PT141 ever for sexual dysfunction, low libido, erectile dysfunction for men?
Yes. So we have, in our Hollywood clinic, we have used that one with pretty good results if they don't want to go a pharmaceutical route, or sometimes we'll do that in conjunction with a P-shot. That can be an option. But yeah, so there's a family, they've been researching the melanocortin. So it's like the pathway for melanin in the body. And there's a lot of literature on it actually. So you have a couple different peptides in that family. You have the bremelanotide, which is called the PT141. You have melanotan-2, you have melanotan-1. I have experimented with melanotan-2. That's the one that's for skin pigmentation, and it does have some effects on libido. But the PT-141 is when you're really going after libido, and that's the main complaint. The melanotan-2 is essentially an aesthetic that helps darken the skin pigmentation, has a mild lipolytic effect, so it can help burn fat a little bit. But it's mostly kind of for pigmentation, can protect from UV rays. But PT-141 is great for boosting libido and sexual function. Have you used that on any clients, patients?
I have, and I think it definitely does work. I mean, obviously you want to work on their hormones and whatever else is going on too, and working around with like their cortisol and DHEA and their sex hormone balance and making sure things are all balanced there. But yeah, I have, and I've noticed that it does work. It takes a little time to kind of kick in, but it does kick in about, you know, they say you want to inject it sub-Q 1 to 5 hours before you think you might be engaging in sexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite the range. So
that is,
it's kind of reminds me of like, you know, the days when I was working in medical cannabis and you were telling patients about edibles and you're like, hey, this could kick in an hour and a half, or you never know. So, it's kind of a similar thing, but I think it's closer to an hour than 5 hours from what people have told me. And I think if people have like a low libido, men and women, I think Ryan Smith said it works just as well for women. Mm-hmm. And so if women have low libido, or there's a couple, and whether they're, you know, heterosexual or homosexual couple, they both could use it. Let's say it's, you know, Saturday night or something, and they know that's the night or something, they both could inject it an hour before and then just kind of hang out and cuddle or whatever, and then see what happens. But it's different than a PDE5 inhibitor, like tadalafil, Viagra, and the other ones, you know. So Viagra, sildenafil. Right. So
yeah,
it's a little bit different because it's more of like internal stimulation, whereas Viagra and the other class of drugs, similar to Viagra, it's all about vasodilation and, you know, getting an erection and maintaining an erection for ED.
Definitely. So, yeah, they have different pathways. That's my understanding. The PT-141 works on a central nervous system, not on a blood flow, not on a vasculature. But the, yeah, the commonly used Viagra is more of, is not as much CNS, more vasodilation, vasoaction. So,
yeah. So patients or listeners, you should know, hey, like if you're not getting any erections, then you got to figure out what's going on there. It could be vascular, nervous system, and hormonal, because everything is connected. Or it could be more of a nervous system, adrenal, testosterone burnout thing. So, and women too need testosterone for a healthy sex life. So
definitely,
that's why you need to work with a practitioner and not just listen to our podcast today and then go online and go shopping and waste your money on the wrong peptides.
I know. So, oh, yeah.
I mean, they're worth it. I think they're very worth it if you are using them for the right things. Mm-hmm. That kind of goes back to your comment about the MK677.
Yep.
Where it increases prolactin, and then prolactin, if it gets too high, can decrease testosterone levels. So hormones are, you know, it's like a symphony orchestra. If one of the players is kind of offbeat or, you know, playing out of time or tune, it's going to throw off everything else, and everybody else is going to start screaming at them, and it's going to just mess up the whole system eventually. So, you know, maybe if you take MK677 one or two nights a week, maybe that won't do it. But if you're taking it every night before you go to bed, the capsules, for weight gain, and you're doing it purely for like bodybuilding purposes and not because you have cachexia from cancer or you're elderly and you're losing muscle mass and lean muscle mass and things like that, then things to consider. So we always want to get to the root cause, and these are amazing tools to have in your toolbox, but there's also risks and side effects. So don't go over the recommended dosage because you already mentioned why. So maybe we can elucidate why again for some of the growth hormone secretagogues, why you wouldn't want to go above, you know, the, whether it's, you know, 1,000 microgram or whatever the recommended dosage for that peptide per dose. What would you say are some of the common side effects that people should be aware of for that class of the growth hormone secretagogues?
Yes. So actually, the great thing about peptides is that there's not a toxicity profile. The only thing is if you dose them too high, they're just not going to be effective. You might, they call saturate your receptors. It's possible to take the peptide too often and too high of a dose where you've kind of like oversaturated the receptor where it's, your body's just less responsive to it in the future. That's essentially the side effect that you get. You just don't respond as well in the future. There are some mild side effects that are peptide specific. Like for example, the melanotan 2 has some nausea associated. And you'll get warm afterwards because it essentially gives you the feeling like you went on a tropical vacation, like you just were sitting out in the sun, and it increases libido and makes you feel leaner and all sorts of things. Sometimes the growth hormone peptides will make you feel a little bit warm after. Not concerning at all. That's the worst side effect there is. When and if you overdose them, it's not like you're going to, it's not normal to have a side effect profile of vomiting or diarrhea or nausea or anything. The side effect profile of a lot of these peptides is extremely low because they're so targeted in their cellular signaling pathway, unlike pharmaceuticals, which have lots of side effects because they're very nonspecific sometimes. In there, they might target one pathway, but it has ramifications on other, signaling pathways in the body. So, yeah, but it really is important to work with a doctor who's going to direct you. I mean, you're wasting your money if you're dosing them incorrectly or
right.
Too high and potentially oversaturating the receptors, which isn't the end of the world, but it's also not a good idea. So it's really valuable to, you know, source the peptides through a legitimate compounding pharmacy like TaylorMade, and they only work through physicians. So these are things that you would have to, you know, get a prescription for through a doctor, discuss kind of what's going on. And I think it's really important to just to preface to patients, like, yes, peptides can sound like this miracle cure, and they do have really profound effects in the body. There's incredible research about how these can be effective, but if the pillars aren't there, the fundamentals, like we have, you know, high inflammatory load in the body, we have chronically elevated cortisol, we have all of these other things that are fighting against you. People might get on a peptide and have a high expectation that even though they haven't resolved everything that's going on, that the peptide should solve all their problems, and that's not the case. These are used as a therapeutic in conjunction with everything else that we do. And it's really important to optimize gut function and, you know, cortisol levels and, you know, sleep circadian rhythms and hormone levels, vasculature, blood vessels, blood flow to the brain. You know, those are all paramount. And peptides can be a means and a mechanism to promoting that, but also aren't this absolute one and only miracle, you know, cure either. So I think it's important to talk about that and how important it is to work with a functional doctor and run the labs and have this on board as a treatment plan, but have other things too that really, you know, bring you to the next level in your health.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more with that. Mm-hmm. So, I'm still going to be using peptides, I think, for a while and experimenting on myself and, you know, prescribing them. I'm excited in 2020 to keep prescribing them for patients. And I think there's one last one before we close up for the day that we didn't talk about was tesamorelin. And I know that's a pretty powerful growth hormone secretagogue and been used for weight loss, muscle building, and repair. Have you used that with patients? And what has your research revealed with that one for how it helps the body? And
yeah, so that one is specific. Actually, that's a great peptide to talk about, specific for men's health too, because that one got FDA approved for men with HIV who have lipophilic dystrophy. So just fat mass essentially in the abdomen. And it helped. They found that one of the side effects when they were researching it was actually that it helped to burn that abdominal fat really effectively. So tesamorelin has been used successfully, more specific to men's health for kind of the adipose tissue storage in the abdomen region, which, as you and I know, is probably the worst place to store it in terms of cardiovascular risk and overall health. So just metabolic syndrome has all of our different categories, blood pressure and the lipid levels and the waist circumference is one of the pieces that they calculate into metabolic syndrome. So increases cardiovascular risk and comorbidities and things. So if we can help, and it's also aesthetic, you know, nobody wants to have to feel subconscious about storing abdominal fat mass. And, you know, when we're stressed, cortisol levels spiking all the time, sleep is interference, you know, low testosterone, increased estrogen in the body can also compound that problem. So of course we're going to address all those things, but the tesamorelin is really, really specific for abdominal obesity or storage of fat and helping to burn that.
Exciting. Very exciting. So yeah. Peptides are awesome, folks. And yeah, if you can shred some fat by using one or two peptides, like we're talking about for most of today's podcast, you could potentially balance out your testosterone to estradiol ratio, because fat is a reservoir for aromatase. So that's your enzyme converting testosterone to estrogens, specifically estradiol, your most potent estrogen. And we have way too many xenoestrogens in our food, air, and water. So getting your internal, your endogenous estrogen down is key. And, you know, that's why when we talk about root cause, it's like, well, you may think you need one of these peptides to increase LH, but you get your lab work and it actually says, hey, you know, you actually need one of these growth hormones, secretagogues, and, you know, maybe you need something for your hair loss, and then something that's going to help you shed the fat without creating all this hunger. So that's, you know, why you need to contact Amber and get in touch with her. So I wanted to share about, you have the peptide playbook coming out in early next year, 2020.
That's right.
So it's December 2019 right now. And that's why you're the expert that we're talking to you today. Doing all this research around peptides, and a lot of that sounds like it's going to your book. Mm-hmm. And do you have a known release date yet, or is it still unknown?
It's going to be mid-February.
Excellent. That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. I feel like there's a big deficit. There's a lot of knowledge for doctors around peptides, but the general public, really, it's a smattering of blogs and podcasts, and I'm glad that we're putting this out there because this really does add to the very little amount that there is for the general public on peptides. And so, yeah, I think that there just needs to be more comprehensive sources where people can learn about them, and also coming from a doctor, it's going to talk about sourcing and working with a practitioner and how important it is to not get them online, and all of the really, really critical pieces there. So, yeah.
Great. So will that be sold on Amazon, or where will people be able to get it online?
That'll be Amazon. Yep. Okay. And they can find me in the meantime. I'm posting about peptides and information research on them on peptide.rx. on Instagram, and then they can also just Google or type into Facebook Peptide RX, and there's a group and there's a page, and they can see a ton more information there, ask questions, reach out to me, and contact me that way.
Great. And you have a YouTube channel as well, and then your other Instagram page that people can follow, or account people can follow, is Dr. Amber ND, spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R Amber ND. So everybody follow Amber on Instagram. If you're not on Instagram, get an account just so you can follow her. And that's the right thing to do. So you can learn more about peptides and make sure you're following someone who can show you beautiful sunny California while talking about peptides and all things naturopathic medicine and functional medicine. So, well, this was excellent. I'm so glad that you were able to offer your expertise for everybody today, and I appreciate it. I know they do too. And until next time, I think we'll have to do part two, maybe after or before you release your book, and we can maybe get
Let's
into some other things that are exciting around peptides and whatnot.
Let's do it. It's been an honor to be on the podcast. Thanks so much, Dr. Sam. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Everybody take care. Take care of yourselves. And we'll talk to you in the next podcast.